special Super Bowl themed episode of The Rule of Three. I'm Brian Miller. On the other side of the mic, we've got Tim Slagle.
Hey.
The Rule of Three, of course. That's two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. We don't usually talk a lot about sports because, well, Tim doesn't really watch a lot of sports. And I only really watch like one and a half of them. So, but the Super Bowl is kind of a different thing, right? It's an American institution.
It is the television show that has become a holiday.
Yes, it or not, for better and for worse, the Super Bowl is kind of everything at this point. You know, I feel like they might, you know, that's the genius of the halftime show, right? Is that it's like, what can we get that people who have no interest in the other actual game to watch?
Well, actually, but then that would make the whole event 12 hours long. They could run the Oscars.
Yeah, that's what they're leading to. That's great. The halftime show is going to become the Oscars. Yeah, that's just give it time. We're almost there.
Unfortunately, the game already lasted almost 5 hours, so I believe that would be short by Oscar standards.
Yeah, right.
There'd be a lot of people getting played off.
They'd have to add people to the in memoriam segment during the show. Was it really? It was 5 hours long? Or almost?
I think it was four and a half, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true, because if it started, I was, and we'll talk about that in a second, I was in the West Coast time, or Mountain time, rather. So it started at 4:30 where I was. It was nice and early. We'll talk about the politics of the event and the halftime show a little bit, but yeah, first kind of in general with the game, did you watch it at home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do every year. I've got a projector downstairs.
So oh, nice.
It's,
yeah.
So it's nice and big. I tried to get the projector all tuned up in time for it. Did not succeed. I ordered a light tunnel from China that did arrive in time, and I installed it, but was not aligned. And now that I've lost everybody.
I'll send you a condolence card. May all your light tunnels be aligned. I'm sure they have that at Target. I was in Boise. There's a really good club there, Liquid Laughs, and we had a really great weekend and you know, sold a lot of tickets. But the Sunday show, where they do a Sunday show every time, and last time I was there, it was a good show. I just remember thinking, there's no way the show is going to happen, right? There's no possible way.
Well, I believe you actually made that prediction.
I did, yeah, you're right.
2 weeks ago when we talked about the Super Bowl, you said, I don't think there's going to be a show.
No, and there was two audience members at the show, and because the feature, very nice guy named Eric Escobar, had invited two friends from town, they were the show. They called the show, and you know they kind of. I think they were kind of thinking the club same way. Like, well, probably nobody's going to show up. But I had the same thought. Hey, maybe 30 people who hate sports all roll in. But man, I tell you, downtown Boise, which is normally pretty fun and bustling, was just a ghost town. I think even more than Christmas, I can't think of a more stay-at-home holiday than the Super Bowl.
Huh?
Or stay at someone else's house, you know. It's like you really just don't need a business, unless it's pizza delivery, you know, or food delivery. But like, the bars were not real crowded.
That's actually interesting. My bar hanging days are well behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think that would be something you'd want to do at a bar.
You know, I mean, I kind of would have thought that myself, but I think. People have parties. I think it's just a big party day. But I don't think the modern Super Bowl actually lends itself much to bar sitting. First off, you have to be there for so long. But people really want to watch those commercials. And you can't do that in a bar.
Hmm.
I don't know if you noticed that. Because I was in a bar and I saw a few of the commercials. But I couldn't tell you much about most of them. Because, you know, even with the sound up as it were in a bar, you know, the commercials come on and it's all talking.
Huh. That's interesting. And, you know, another aspect of it might be it might be sort of a change, a sea change in American culture, is that the bars are where the single people used to go to watch the Super Bowl, whereas the people who are married, the people who have families, have homes, they go to parties at each other's house. And it's quite possible that there has been a huge drop off with the new generation in going to bars. It's unnecessary. With the invention of Tinder, there's really no reason to go to a bar anymore.
That's kind of true. That's a fair point.
And because of the economy and the inability of young people to actually get hired or move out of their parents' house, there's not even any money to go to the bars, really. So I think probably what you have is just kids are now coming up from the basement and going to their parents' Super Bowl party.
But yeah, but I mean, the other thing too is just I think the Super Bowl party as like its own phenomenon is just like it's just a big thing now. That's a big party day. I mean, if I was in town, I would have had a couple of different places to go if I was so inclined, or obviously could have ordered up some pizzas and, you know, easily done that at my house. I mean, everybody gets the Super Bowl for free, right? It's on a network that's piped into everybody's house. It's evolved into its own weird little thing. Now, speaking of the game, though, so you're not a sports fan. Did you enjoy the sporting element of it?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a great game.
It was incredible athletic contest in terms of just an insane comeback.
And for me, I'll be honest right here. I dozed off during the third quarter.
Oh, a lot of people stopped. Hey, you feel you better doze off. Donald Trump left his Super Bowl viewing party, and Mark Wahlberg, famous Boston fan, left the stadium during the third quarter.
Yes, I know that. It's I actually had a source inside the Super Bowl, and probably be talking about that in the third segment.
All right.
As we go to the halftime
nice
show.
Nice tease.
He said there were thousands of people streaming out. He said that the Patriots fans, you know, oh yeah, diehard fans spent the money to go to Texas and just went, this is a bunch of crap, and just started storming out and missed it.
And I will say, I watch a lot of football, and I know how games can turn pretty fast and everything, but the guy was sitting next to an open micer. I watched the whole game at the club, which was really fun. It was me and Eric Escobar and Kaz Gable, who's very funny, opener, and then this guy Alex, who was a friend of his, and the staff of the club, and so we had a really good time. But Alex, this guy sitting next to me, he said, "Well, yeah, they could come back." He said, "You never know." And I just kept saying, "There's no way, there's no way." And I was so close to putting money on it. And I told him later, I was like, "Man, you could have gotten me the slightest push. I'd have put $20 on that."
Boy, that was the second bet that you skated out of in the past 12 months.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
And so, you know, speaking of the game being so insanely close, it was interesting that. I was sitting at the bar saying, like, I'm pretty sure no Super Bowl has ever gone to overtime, and somebody said, "There's no way." And, well, sure enough, this was the first one, which is improbable out of 51 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But if you think about this, in the last year, so the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors were up 3-1, and they lost. And then the Cleveland Indians were up 3-1 on the Cubs, and they lost. And then the Atlanta Falcons were up by 25 points in the third quarter to the Patriots, and they lost.
And then in between there, there was November 8th.
Yes, exactly. No, it's absolutely.
Year of the underdog. That should be Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
One of the most despicable things about the Patriots and Donald Trump was that they both managed to turn privilege into underdog status. Like, Trump managed to make being a rich white guy seem like an underdog's deal. And the Patriots, by getting behind in the score, were like, "Oh, we got to come back." It's like, no, you're the dynasty, you idiots. You were supposed to be winning this whole time. My buddy Kostaki, our mutual friend, Kostaki Kanamopoulos, is a big Falcons fan. And he was just very distraught. And I was talking to him about it a little bit. And he said,
How's he doing? Has he been able to find the funny?
As Kostaki said, the good thing about being a Falcons fan is at least when you slash your wrist, you still wear your team colors.
God bless him.
Yeah, so he made some good jokes out of it, but he was a little despondent. And I said that to him. He said, "You're exactly right. That's what it is." I said, "It's so frustrating because somehow they turn themselves into the underdogs before they beat you guys."
Much like Donald Trump, which is probably what we're going to discuss in the next segment. Well, it's been all day cleaning, so the house can get trashed again. I'll staple a smile on my face to impress your creepy friends. Yeah, I look my best in my party dress and pretend I like the halftime show. Now I got a purpose. Thank God for the Super Bowl.
And we're back on the Rule of Three. We're talking about the Super Bowl today. If you hadn't noticed, that was a good friend of mine. That was the Midols that you heard playing. That's thank God for the Super Bowl.
Do they still make Midol?
I don't know. It's a band.
Right, no, of course. Well, you know, the reason I ask is, you know, up until maybe 15, 20 years ago, Midol jokes were all the rage. You know what I mean? I mean, that was like a common reference, like, "Oh, take a Midol, lady." You know, that was like shorthand for, you know, ladies in a bad mood, you know?
Yeah.
And so it made me wonder, is it that people stopped making period jokes, or is that Midol somehow slipped from its ascendancy as the go-to reference?
You know, it could be. It could be that women just figured out, hey, it's just aspirin. You know, why cue the person at the pharmacy? Why you got a frown on your face?
Right. Funny thing, you should say aspirin. The reason I even thought of it was that I think we might have talked about this once before, where I took out a bottle of aspirin and somebody looked at me like I just pulled out a bottle of old-timey traveling Nick's health tonic that I bought
from some laudanum.
Yeah. Now with twice the laudanum. That I was like so antiquated that I was using aspirin. So I wonder if you're a lady and you take out a Midol, are you, you know, do you look like you're a pioneer woman?
Yeah, probably pretty much. Yeah, it's probably pretty much the same thing. The women who took Midol don't need it anymore.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly. Talk about a thing that you're inherently going to cycle out of, as it were.
And as we become politically incorrect at the opening of this segment,
sure,
the big issue I think that for a lot of people was the politics of the sport. Of course, there was the politics of whether Lady Gaga was going to be able to restrain herself or not, and we'll probably cover that in the third segment.
Yes.
When we talk about the halftime show and the pop culture aspect. But there were several political things. I did not realize that the Patriots were associated with Donald Trump
very closely. Yeah,
I that shows you how much attention I pay. I assume that there are probably a lot of owners that associate with Donald Trump. In fact, a lot of them have probably golfed with him.
You know,
spent time at one of his resorts. So I'm sure that there is Trump familiarity all through the NFL. But I guess the Patriots are out.
Yeah, well, you know, but yeah, our buddy Cy Amundsen pointed this out. And he said, he's like, "Well, before you get too excited," he goes, "don't forget that Arthur Blank, who owns the Falcons," he's like, "he probably voted for Trump, too." Like, it's not, you know, it's not like, well, every other team is owned by Bernie Sanders and George Soros, something like that. I mean, that's not what it is. So that was an astute point. But yeah, but yes, Robert Kraft is a very out and out. Well, there's actually a wonderful connection. So Robert Kraft is a very blatant Trump, out and out Trump supporter. Tom Brady's kind of caught in the middle because Tom Brady was seen with a Make America Great hat in his locker many months ago. Which prompted, is Tom Brady a Trump fan? And then his wife went out and said, no, he's not. And so there's some debate. And then Bill Belichick allegedly wrote a note to Trump congratulating him. And then the White House published that note. And then there was some speculation that was not actually the note that Belichick had written. And when someone asked Belichick for comment on that, he said, "Well, I wrote a note."
Oh.
So because the note does not read like Bill Belichick wrote it in any capacity. It reads like Donald Trump wrote a note to himself.
I wrote an I can confirm that a note has been written. It's really like the new McCarthy era, isn't it? Have you ever been a supporter of Donald Trump? Well, I might have written a note.
Thinking about Trump. Sorry, zoned out.
No, that's okay. I think it was fascinating to me that there was no politics actually in the game, that there was no one taking a knee during the national anthem. There was no Lady Gaga, who we'll cover in the final segment, did not make a political statement. The only thing political was the commercials.
Well, yes and no. As I saw somebody very astutely pointed out on Twitter, Donald Trump is such an odious affront to humanity that even the blandest positive sentiment feels politicized. Like, if you're like, hey guys, maybe we should be nice to each other. It's like, whoa, 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 why you gotta be so anti-Trump? You're supporting niceness.
Yeah, you know, but it's never been more blatant than it was this. You know, the Coke ad with you know, people singing it in all different languages all around the country. The Lumber 84 ad. I mean, come on, you can't.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company. That's the same bland sentiment. It's just that Donald Trump is such a xenophobic word I can't say.
Yeah,
that
see?
It makes it seem
you see,
like.
But even, perhaps, but you can't deny that the Lumber 84 ad was not.
I don't know
an
what that
anti-Trump sentiment there.
That one's. And, I was at the club, and I watched the Budweiser commercial, the immigrant one, like on it by itself a couple days ago. I was just curious about it, and you could watch it online. But I didn't see a lot of the commercials because, like I said, I was at a bar, and so as soon as the game went off, it was just like it got loud again, you know. So what was the Lumber 84 ad?
Oh, the Lumber 84? It was a woman, a little girl waking her mom up, and the two of them walking across Mexico for days. And they eventually – and then it just kind of stops. They're over a campfire, huddled around a campfire. Mm. And then it says, to see the rest of the ad, you have to go online. And then you go online, and they walk across Mexico for another couple more days and come up to a wall.
Well – yeah, that's pretty on the nose.
but interestingly, while they're walking in the second half, when you go on, there's people doing construction, and you assume they're building the wall, and you know they're hammering and they're nailing, and you figure, well, these are the people that made the wall. And then she gets up to it, and then it's the wall, and the little girl is picking up tattered trash all along the way, red, white, and blue trash. And when they see the wall, she pulls it out, and it's an American flag that she had made along the way. And they hug and cry, and all of a sudden they see a little thing of light, and they turn around, and apparently someone has made a big door in the wall for them. And that was Lumber 84.
So they're not going for that wall contract too hard, apparently.
Well, you know, all I could think of was, this ad is for the Mexicans that hang out in the parking lot. This is, don't hang out at Home Depot waiting for jobs. Come to Lumber 84 because we're going to build a door for you.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, the Budweiser ad was pretty explicitly pro-immigrant too, which I thought was nice. And interesting that, like, you know, it's not an obvious thing for them to do considering their demographic. I mean, obviously, it's a politically calculated move, for sure.
Well, over the summer, they changed their name to America.
Yeah.
Even though they're a Belgian beer company.
Right.
So and so now it's And it seems to me it's, you know, not making a judgment either way. It seems to me that calling your beer America and then saying that you're the beer made by immigrants, those seem like they're playing to two completely different demographics.
I completely agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah. And maybe they feel like they overextended themselves a little bit and they needed to go the other way. I don't know.
But it's kind of funny to me that the only political statement was made by the evil corporations.
So, yeah, well, that's a very interesting point. Oh, I don't know, I meant to tell you, there's an amazing Trump Robert Kraft connection. So Robert Kraft got his Super Bowl. The last time they won the Super Bowl, Vladimir Putin personally stole his ring. This is not a conspiracy story. Putin was at some Washington, D.C., or was some, I don't know, Putin was at some function somewhere in America, and Robert Kraft was there, and Putin said, hey, Super Bowl ring, can I take a look at that? And he, Kraft handed it to him, and Putin put it on and said, yeah, it looks very nice, thanks for the gift, and walked off. And
wow.
Robert Kraft was later asked by the State Department to claim that he gave the ring to Putin to avoid an international incident. And so now that I think it's hilarious that now Trump's Kraft's best buddy Trump is Putin's best buddy. So if anybody can, if there's one thing I actually have faith in Donald Trump is I think he might be able to get that ring back.
That's amazing. One thing that I did that I noticed, and this is kind of twisted and a little off topic, but they didn't bring George Bush out to do the second coin flip.
Oh, well, yeah, the second coin toss is always done by a ref, though. It's never ceremonial.
Okay.
That's all, yeah.
All I could think of is like, they don't want to push back. They would have to push back 24 Legacy another hour at least.
Yeah, waiting for him to get out to the middle of the field.
Mr. President, we're going to do another coin flip. You have to. You have to come back out and the long push across the field and about 10 o'clock the coin finally gets flipped.
Yeah. Speaking of keeping on time to go to the next segment.
Yeah, look my best in my party dress and pretend I like the halftime show. Now I got a purpose. Thank God for the Super Bowl.
And in the final segment of our Rule of Three Super Bowl extravaganza, I just decided to call it that at the last second. We're going to talk a little bit about everything else at the Super Bowl that wasn't political, which is because the Super Bowl is it's a fascinating thing. It's a giant wad of politics and pop culture, and I suppose sport as a sort of subsection of that.
It is probably the closest thing that America has to a real live Hunger Games.
Yeah, and like America itself, it's everything. You know, like I feel like there's nothing more American than essentially like a buffet. Right? A buffet is so American. And the Super Bowl is like a buffet. It's like, do you want pizza and hamburgers and fried rice and ice cream? Because we got it all.
isn't buffet a French word?
It is, but we totally own that.
It's for a while there we tried to call it smorgasbord.
Yeah, we should bring that back. I like smorgasbord. But that's got to be German, right?
Swedish.
Swedish. Oh, yes, smorgasbord. Yeah, of course. You say it
the Swedish House was the first place that introduced the all-you-can-eat restaurant.
Oh.
Which, for me, I'm horrible. Most people take it as a bargain. For me, it's a challenge.
Oh, me too. I actually don't usually like buffets because I'll eat to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm an adult. I'm done eating now. I'm full. But then I'm like,
haven't tried that.
Yeah. Well, I'm such a cheapskate. I'm like, all right, this was $13. There's no way I've eaten more than $7 worth of food. Like, I got to get back.
In my early road days, I would come in for lunch and hang around for dinner.
Wow.
I would come, rather than get a hotel room, I would leave the hotel from the first gig, mm-hmm. and then I'd go to the place for lunch and I'd have lunch, and then I would hang out,
drink some coffee,
have dinner, do the gig. Then get in the car and then go to the next gig and see if I can get an early check-in on the hotel.
Pretty savvy. Now, did you at least tip the waitress out pretty well?
You know, I don't remember.
Although, I guess there's really not a lot of waitressing at a buffet.
Yeah. Yeah, probably not. Probably not. And it's not like I took up a table.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think back then it was before they actually had the waitresses serving you beverages. It's now they refill your beverages, so you do feel some sort of necessity to give them some money. But I think back then you had to get your own beverages anyway, so there was no.
I think it's because now Americans drink, like, if they left to our own devices, we'll drink like a million ounces of Mountain Dew apiece. They're like, we got to put some sort of check and balance on this. We got to let Cheryl
the
waitress
there also might be the aspect of what I just said. Is mm-hmm. that before, when the waitress would do nothing more than clean up your plates, they people did not feel a necessity to tip. But now that they actually bring you your, you know, a lot of times they bring you your steak, they bring you your beverage. So a lot of times you do feel a little more connection with the waitress rather than just the as the bus person.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they do it, so that people are inspired to tip.
Speaking of inspired, what'd you think of that Lady Gaga halftime show?
I thought it was fantastic.
I did too. I thought it was really great.
I actually, like I said, I got a source inside, and this is a little revelation. I don't know if it's widely known. I know that TMZ pointed it out, but he told me before she didn't jump off the roof into the middle of the Super Bowl.
Was it somebody else?
They filmed that on Wednesday and Thursday.
The drones
behind her, they couldn't rely on the. They tried it on Wednesday, but it was too windy. It had to be perfectly still in order for that drone thing to work.
Oh, interesting.
So they tried it on Wednesday, and it didn't work. It was too Wednesday, so they did it again on Thursday. And then they would also have Friday and Saturday if it didn't work on Thursday. But they got the shot on Thursday.
And so they figured, hey, we better – now that we got it, let's just stick with it. Let's not –
Well, no, they weren't going to. They weren't going to anyway, because that was the one thing that the commentator said. Oh, they're opening the roof for Lady Gaga. They didn't open the roof.
Oh, interesting.
That was a little lie.
It's a good thing Bill O'Reilly didn't do the halftime show. Otherwise, you might have heard. F it, let's do it live.
She wanted to do it. She tried to talk them into cutting a hole in the roof.
Wow.
And they said no.
Yeah, I don't blame him on that one.
You're a big star. You're not that big. We're not cutting a hole in the damn roof for you. So basically, they took her up there on the roof. She filmed the intro on the roof, and then that's why she was like smirking when she jumped off. It just looked like she was completely fearless. Well, she wasn't jumping off. She was just landing face first on a mattress there on
the
roof. So that's why she had done it the day before, at least a couple times. So, I mean, she was pretty used to it. That's why she looked so comfortable doing the plunge.
Yeah,
and
boy,
then
she
they
did.
They actually lowered her off the catwalk. My source tells me that she actually did have to jump. The catwalk was just underneath the roof. He said he went up there and was petrified just to walk up there.
Oh,
and
I
she
bet.
Did have to jump out enough to clear the catwalk. With the wires on.
Sure. Oof.
But that's also why she didn't have wires when she did the song and then jumped, and then all of a sudden there were wires.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, it did feel like there was a little bit of a continuity error, and I think a film buff like yourself probably
should have caught
that.
I was like, where did those wires go? But we were at a bar, and I thought, I don't know, maybe somebody hooked them up to her back during the 5 seconds I wasn't paying attention or something.
Nope.
But it was good. Nope. I thought it was a really good halftime show. She's on the short list of people who can pull that off.
Right. And interestingly, there were no – and maybe I'm wrong because I've thought this before and it was like, no, you're just not hip to music. She didn't have anyone else. It was just her.
No. In fact, a couple of backup dancers came out. It's funny. One of the other comics goes, I'm not very cool. Should I know those people? Because I don't think I do. And I was like, no. I don't think there's anybody else famous here. I kept waiting for like Justin Timberlake to wander out there or something, you know. But
yeah.
I kind of like the idea of not.
He was drinking with Christopher Walken. Are you kidding? you got a chance to drink with Christopher Walken. You don't turn it down to dance with Gaga.
I kind of liked it because I feel like for a while they were trying to kind of please all comers by like, okay, what if we'll have a Toby Keith, we'll do a duet with Neil Diamond, and then Axl Rose will come. You know, they were kind of overstuffing the musical bills with random acts.
Yeah, I always thought it took away from it.
Yeah,
it was more like a show. See, more like a show intro than an actual show.
Yeah, this was very good. I thought the whole thing was well done. I thought she made a little bit of a political statement in there, but it was you had to really know what you were looking for, to say the least.
Yeah, well, she did, you know, right up front when she quoted the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right, and Woody Guthrie.
She did say justice for all. She hit that pretty hard. But I think most people that would have been offended by that were so swept up in the patriotism of the moment that they didn't, it went right by them. And it's the people that were looking for it. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, one, so, the other thing is, I mean, it's one thing to make a political statement, and it's another thing, like, she didn't, I think there's a difference between sort of saying, like, you know, this land is your land, or and all that sort of thing, versus, like, saying, like, well, F Trump. You know, not contextualizing it in the explicitly political, but rather more of the, a little more right, in the realm of the ideological and the patriotic.
Right. As I've been saying, she did not go full Meryl.
No. Or you know, what was the idiot we were talking about the other time who flipped the MIA, who flipped the camera off and
flipped the camera
possibly
off.
The single most puerile act of defiance of all time. It's like, boy, you didn't spend more than 1 minute thinking about that, did you? At least Janet Jackson used your boob.
you know, that was the other thing. It was costumes were tasteful. I mean, she didn't look any more, you know, any worse than a cheerleader. The dancing was, you know, nothing over the top. There was no, you know, Miley Cyrus grinding. And then she sat down and she did a number at the piano.
Yeah.
Breathlessly. So you knew that she was actually singing. She was having a hard time.
The first song a little bit, like when she was like flying around through the air. I think there was some lip syncing or backing tracks going on with that. But then she did seem to be singing. I feel like you could tell there was a time. The first part of it, the sound was a little too clean. But then in the middle and later sections, you could hear the plosives pop a little bit. And you could hear the breaths a little more.
Yeah, well, when she was at the piano, she was definitely out of breath.
Yeah. And deservedly so. She earned that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not insulting her. Yeah. I'm saying it made it real.
Yep.
And I think she won over some new fans.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think she was really good. Although her opening outfit, I thought she looked like a villain from Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit. But she, you know, she's a pretty lady. She's sort of interesting looking, and she managed to, she worked in, you know, she winds up at some point just in the shoulder pads with the midriff. I thought that was kind of a cool look.
Yeah, well, that's why the outfit looked so ridiculous at the beginning. Right. You had to have just that underneath, yeah.
Yeah, get down there. But, yeah, no, it was good. And none of the, I only saw, the only commercial that I really saw that I thought was really good was the Talking Yearbook ad for, I think it was a car ad. You know how they'd have pictures of people's high school yearbook photos?
Yeah, no, I saw the Talking Yearbook. I forgot what the – so that doesn't make it a good commercial. Neither you or I can tell.
Well, right, but I did think it was a clever ad. Yeah, it really held my attention as an ad.
No, it really was. It was a nice twist, but if you don't know the product, it stunk.
Yeah, that was the problem is that like the cleverness of the ad really had absolutely no relation to the product. It was like it could have been for Snickers, could have been for Coke, could have been for a car, you know, could have been for Sprint. But I did like that. But yeah, none of the other ones – were there any other really good or bad ones that people were nuts about? I kind of missed that whole thing.
Probably, but we're out of time.
Huh? Well, there you go. We'll save it for the next Super Bowl.
Catch all the episodes on iTunes, timslagle.com.
Yep, and at brianmillercomedy.com with a Y and Real Brian Miller on Twitter. And we'll be back next week with, I would guess, virtually no football talk.
See you then.